Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by HTS. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automation, Sonos audio systems, and security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit them at htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good morning. How's it going?
It's going great. How about you?
Good. Pull that up a little closer, buddy.
Okay.
There you go. A little closer.
A little closer.
Don't be shy. It's like, it's like opening the attic door. Good morning. So this is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. Find all of our podcasts at www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Dominic Pandolfino.
Correct.
I thought I was going to screw it up.
No, you got it, man.
Nailed it. Good morning, Dominic. How are you, buddy?
Good. A little cold.
It's a little chilly, but it's, it's expected. It's this time of the year.
Yeah, we can't fight it forever.
Do you like winter? What are you, a winter guy, summer guy?
It doesn't really matter to me, you know. It's
trying to pull this a little.
A little closer. I'm just trying not to.
Don't be shy.
There we go.
There you go.
How about that?
That sounds better. Now we can hear you. And you can move it, you know.
Okay.
Move around, whatever you want to do. No problems. So, good morning. Who's the guy? I always forget his name. Mike? The guy from Lyft? Who is it that sent me the idea?
Rob West.
Yeah, Rob West. Rob West sent me a text, asked me to reach out to you, said I got a friend. He's really doing a lot of great stuff. And I'm like, hey, I'm always open to talk to people doing a lot of great stuff. And so he gave me your name, your number, reached out. We had a little conversation, and here we are. And I think what you're doing is great. Meal prep. And I, you know, people know me. I love food, and I don't just love to eat food, but I love, you know, because food is fuel, right?
Correct.
We've gotten into this thing like, oh, food is like, it makes us feel good, and it does. It does all these wonderful things, and it's, you know, makes us feel good about ourselves. But the reality is food is fuel. And I know I have lost track of what the role food plays in my life. And I started kind of getting into it maybe a couple years ago. You know, we talked a little bit about this intermittent fasting and just different ways, because at 52, you know, I exercise, but I still struggle a bit with weight. So I'm trying to figure out, and sometimes it can be very confusing. So when you said you were doing meal prep, I was like, this guy's going to know something about food. So that's why we got you on here. And you brought some meal prep.
I did.
Things, and I took some pictures. We'll post them on our Instagram. So tell me what's going on. What are you up to over there?
So this idea came about when I was scrolling through social media, and, you know, as we get past the summer months, people are like, okay, I don't want to lose the summer body.
Right.
So I'm watching people doing their meal preps at home, and it was kind of always the same broiled chicken, brown rice, steamed broccoli.
Now, is there anything wrong with that?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
All right.
But to me,
well, we don't want to discourage people that are actually, because that is a good, you know, because there's a transition that happens sometimes when we're really struggling with how we're eating, and then we make this big change, and it ends up being broiled chicken, brown rice, and steamed vegetables. It's a good change, but it does get boring.
Exactly. And I was like, to me as a chef, I was putting it in my head, like, how, I couldn't do that. Right. I could never do that with, you know, if I was trying to jumpstart, you know, I guess because I like variety. So how do I offer something to the public that's going to change often?
Right.
You know, so not every day you're eating the same thing. And talking to a couple people, they've said, like, you know, I do it for a week and then I just get tired of it. It's a lot of work. I eat the same thing. I get bored. So it just kind of clicked in my head.
Right.
Okay, if I can offer these meals, change up the menu weekly, take some comfort foods that people associate normally with being, oh, well, how can that be healthy?
Right.
You know, eliminating a lot of the processed foods that go into it, and very much as cooking clean,
yeah,
you know, is kind of one of the, that's the starting point, using lean proteins and not using high processed oils.
So
and,
can I ask you something about that? Because honestly, I feel like we've leaned out. We're so lean, you know, and I'm not sure exactly. I think that's been part of the confusing part about food is that we have this thing. And if I serve something to my kids, my 8-9-year-olds, they go after it like a surgeon. I mean, they're moving. There's the fat, you know, fats on there. They're cutting everything off. And you know, they don't make candles out of Cheerios. They make candles out of fat. That's how this country was built, right? Out of fat burning candles. I mean, there's fuel and fat. And I'm wondering, is it dangerous to take out all the fat out of everything and to kind of make everybody believe that fat is so bad? Because it's not.
It's
very, very important.
Yeah. I think for the most part, it's looking at what, you know, not the excess of it, you know, and
so maybe just getting the minimum amount that you need and not any extra,
you know. Pork belly, you know, that's very concentrated.
Pork belly's good. Well, you hear these like guys that go up into Alaska, or there's these survival shows. There was a great survival show on, I think it was on Netflix, but they all got dropped off somewhere up in the above the 48, and they're hunting to survive. They're all on their own, and you can starve to death without fat. I mean, you can literally. I mean, this guy shot a moose. I don't know how the freak he did it, but he got a moose. And then he basically, all he wanted to do was preserve the fat. That was the key to life. That was going to be the key to his survival. He had like 15 pounds of fat that he got off this thing, and a badger stole it. He's like, oh, I got 500 pounds of lean moose meat, but with no fat, I'm done. And I think that's there's some realness that people don't understand that fat is important. So I like that you're trying to balance it.
I mean, everything, moderation and balance, and you know, in life with so much, you know,
right. We've pushed it so far, so to this point, it's hard to get back a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are like, no fat, no fat. I'm like, you have to eat fat. It's part of the complex, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think also too, like looking at, you know, starting off in a meal prepping situation, a lot of times if you're not burning that fat,
that's true.
You know, we get into that survival situation. Like,
yeah,
you know, I watch some of those shows on Discovery, and they're like, you know, those guys they're out there working, you know, and they're burning a lot of calories, so that fat is very much needed in their diet, or you know,
exactly.
They're not going to make it through the next day. But, you know, as you get started in any sort of working out, like, you know, sometimes you just got to jolt the system and like, okay, you know.
Right.
Well, let's get into a rhythm.
Well, we were talking, I mean, at some point, you know, and I'm 52, I do a lot of running, and I was, you know, I'm still chasing after my 18-year-old body. You know, I'm like, I still want to be that kid wearing 28, 32s and just feeling lean. And I told my buddy, I go, I think what happened is I think I turned into a man. You know, like you at 52, I'm officially a man. You know, I've been trying to be this teenager all my life. And it's just, you know, there's no way I could be, if I was wearing 28, 32s at 52, I would be very sickly looking, I think.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess what I'm saying is I have to kind of change that line in the sand of what my happiness is or what I think my happiness is.
Yeah. I mean,
the evolution.
We all hit that wall. I had a cup of coffee the other day after 5 p.m. and I couldn't sleep. I was like, oh, I guess I did it.
I just turned into my father.
Yep, I guess I did it.
So you got into, so you were watching things on Facebook. You got the idea. So how does this work? Because you brought, I think it's turkey meatballs with squash spaghetti, which is a great idea. In fact, I remember when that kind of, I'm sure it's been around, but I remember them when the squash spaghetti kind of came a big idea, and I put it in the microwave and scraped it with a fork, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
So that's a great alternative to a pasta or something like that. And then the next one was chicken and quinoa?
Yeah, a roasted chicken.
Roasted chicken.
And a nice quinoa salad.
And quinoa is like super popular now.
Yeah.
It's delicious. So, and then you made a turkey burger. No.
Black bean burger.
Right, the turkey meatball. So a black bean burger, which you say is actually vegan, which is great because, you know, at 52, I'm realizing maybe I should be a vegan. I can't win the other way. Maybe that's where the secret is.
I mean, well, we discussed it briefly early. You know, the primary part of my diet myself, I eat vegan. You know, occasionally some seafood, but I don't know what it was, but it got to a point where it was like, okay, maybe, like you said, maybe I should change something up because things aren't working.
Right. I can't be.
So I just went to the extreme.
Well, and I think, and I've heard it, and I've considered it. I do like the idea of, I would definitely try being vegan. I don't think I'm spiritually into it, but I would definitely try it just because, you know, I've also been gluten-free. I've tried all sorts of stuff. But I would like to, but I feel like I would struggle because my protein would probably always be like hard-boiled eggs. Like I probably wouldn't figure out. Can you eat hard-boiled eggs if you're a vegan?
No, you can't.
Oh,
sorry.
Well, see, I'm really screwed then. So I don't even, my fear is I wouldn't be able to, I would find one protein. So what's it? Soybeans. I don't even know where you get your proteins.
A lot of tofu.
Tofu. So that's soy.
Yeah. A lot of soy proteins.
Yeah. And soy's scary.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because you don't want to, you know what's the biggest fear about soy, right? Too much soy. Man eating too much soy, what happens? Man teats.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened? Yeah, right. Oh, hey, isn't that what happened to, was it Jeremy Piven, the guy from, I forget that HBO.
Oh, from Entourage.
Entourage, yeah. He claimed that he ended up getting man boobs from too much soy. So I heard that, and I'm like, well, I'm out. I don't want any soy. But it's nice because, you know, it's nice when someone brings out some ideas that you go, wow, because a black bean burger, so that's a great a source of protein or beans.
Yeah.
So I think it's great what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun. It's been fun to try to, again, look at some of those comfort food recipes as we're coming into the winter here. And, like, how can I eliminate or take grandma's recipe and look at it in a different sense of how can I trigger the brain to remember all those flavors,
right?
Without putting, you know, that scoop of lard in everything, or, you know, a big handful of salt, or, you know, and it's been a challenge. It's a challenge as a chef, and, you know, I think I'm hitting it. By everybody who's ordering is telling me I'm hitting the mark. So,
well, so let's. So, do you have a website? So, if I want, so hey, I'm new to this. I am new to this because we've really just met. We've talked a little bit, but this is where I love to learn on these podcasts. I want to. That's why I listen to podcasts. I like to learn. So, I'm new to this. So, let's say I want to check it out. So, do I go to your website?
Yeah. Go to the website. It's mealpreprehoboth.com.
Mealpreprehoboth.com.
Yep.
Okay. And we'll put a link to that in the podcast. Okay. And so, and the website comes up, and I'm shown all the food that you're making.
All the food I'm making.
All of it.
Yep. The menu's up there. You can order online, pay with a credit card, that kind of deal. So.
And so you can order individual meals, a week of meals, a month of meals. How does that work?
So it's a weekly basis.
Okay.
I'm actually working on how to get a subscription base set up, so that will be coming soon. So if you wanted to get your meals just delivered every Sunday, you know.
Well, and it's, you know, we deliver other food, right? So
yeah.
Why not deliver prepped food? I mean, homemade prepped food.
Yeah. So right now it's set up. You go online, you look at the menu. You select the amount of meals you want. A cutoff would be Friday afternoon, and then your meals are delivered to you on Sunday afternoon.
And then you get like a week of meals. So what does that look? Is that a lot of containers? Is it just seven containers, or is there a breakfast? How's that? What else are you offering?
So in our development stages here, we're, you know, starting slow. We've been going now for a month. And as we build our clients, we're going to be introducing breakfast items that you can have and soups. But ideally, the basis is just quick meals.
Right.
They're prepped. They're in containers for you. You know, so the idea is that if you wanted meals for lunch, for going to the office, order five meals. They're in your fridge at home. You bring them to the fridge in the office. You grab one when you're ready.
Nice. Well, And it looks like they're packaged to be eaten. Like they're not. They're not. They don't look like you. I mean, you probably could, but it doesn't look like that needs to be packed away in a freezer in the back for the next couple months. It looks like something. Do you even freeze them, or do you just?
Nothing's frozen.
Yeah. No, I mean, but you probably would suggest if I was to do this for a week, you would say, don't freeze them, just eat them through the week.
Eat them through the week.
Okay, cool.
And they're designed. Like, if you want one for lunch, eat it for lunch. If you want to use it for dinner, use it for dinner. You know, I'm never going to say, tell someone how to eat.
Do we have a calorie average or something that...
They range from like 300 to 400 per meal. It depends on,
You probably haven't gotten that far.
Without physically going to a lab and having each meal tested each week... I have to rely on, you know, the wonderful internet to give me all the information I need. So,
well, and that's a weird thing we've gotten into too, as well as is calories. There's a lot of fear, anxiety, shame, weird shit that goes along with calories, and those look like whatever the calories are. They look like all good calories, right? Because, you know, we only care about calories if they're crappy. No one says, oh, look, this has got 300 great calories. They only care about the simple ones that are going to make you fat. So, I mean, portion size, it looked like a normal portion. So whatever the calories are, I mean, it looks like all good stuff.
Yeah, it's all very clean. You know, right. I keep going back to the word clean, you know. And
clean's important.
You know, it's no added sugar. It's very little salt. You know, all those things that I think the biggest one is sugar. And you know, if I'm not using processed, you know, granulated sugar, if I'm gonna add a sweetness to it, I'm using local honey to add a little sweetness to things. So very much in a sense of, again, being mindful of calories, but also you burn them throughout the day, so keeping them clean that way, you know, you don't have that eater's regret.
I shouldn't say that. I've considered myself a clean eater probably for the last 8 years. I try to eat clean. I try to feed my family clean. You know, and we're the guy, you know, I do the broiled chicken, the steamed vegetables, and, you know, something simple. But it's very clean. I know exactly what's in it, maybe just a pinch of salt or something. It's interesting when you go or you're forced or you don't have a lot of choices and you have to eat stuff that's not as clean and how badly it can make me feel. And whether it's just feeling tired, you know, I do get, you know, at 52, I'm starting to get like arthritis. I had a back injury. I can feel it in my back. You know, when I don't eat well, I can feel it in my back. It's just a lot of, it's interesting because I grew up until this point, I didn't pay much attention to it. And then all of a sudden you start like, you know, time starts to ticking and you're getting older. And then all of a sudden you start caring and then you start trying to treat your vehicle. Because I've always said that it's a brain car. You know, try to treat your vehicle better. And then when you are forced to eat, you know, a corn dog or something that is, you know, who knows where it came from, you're like, ugh. So it is important. Clean food is important. Yeah. I think it's definitely people are focusing on that a lot more now.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, and kind of one of my other driving forces behind this, having friends who work in offices in Rehoboth. And if they've got 15 minutes in their busy schedule to go out and get lunch, they're grabbing a cheesesteak here and a cheesesteak there, and they're going back to their desk. And they're not burning that. You know, they're just, you know, kind of sitting there. They're not, you know, so it's, if you're going to sit and have something at your desk that's quick and easy, at least let it be, you know, convenient and make you not drag you down through the day.
You should go around and stick little refrigerators in all these businesses and just have this, you know, you stop by and shove four meals in there. And, you know, if someone's working, they say, oh, and a little cup and throw the money in. And
that's a good idea.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to get into the vending machine business, but, you know, it's so fresh that it's not frozen. So, you know, you'd have to manage it, but that would be. Like yesterday when I was working, if I had one of those in my refrigerator yesterday, and I'm going to get a few of them, I'm going to get some. I'll put them in my refrigerator and I'll have them for lunch because I will eat something not as good.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you look at the options and you're like, well, you know, the good option is 20 minutes away or it's going to take 30 minutes to get it. well, yeah, I'll just go get, I'll go to Five Guys.
So what is a, do you want to talk about pricing or is it, how much is it?
So they average about $10 a meal.
Okay.
And then there's no extra cost, like no delivery charges. I bring them right to your door. Contactless. If you're home, you know, I drop them off. If you're not, you know, they come in this nice little, as I'm showing you, this nice little, you know, insulated shopping bag, ice pack. So you got about 30 minutes to an hour to get to it. So
do you get, you leave that with the people?
I leave that with the people.
And does that, so like if I wanted more stuff and they just leave that out for you and you put more in it?
Yeah, you can do that because I have no way of, in our COVID world, I have no way of sanitizing those.
Right.
So Merry Christmas. You have a nice.
Well, you can, you know, so if you need more, you just leave your thing outside.
100%.
And fill it back up.
Yeah.
That's cool. So were you, do you want to talk about a little bit like, were you a chef? Were you cooking? How'd you get to this point? What brought you to this moment?
I mean, I've been cooking a lot through my years. A lot down here in Rehoboth.
Were you friends? Did you know Matt Haley?
I didn't know him personally.
Right.
We met at a couple events, you know, in the past when I was much younger, doing cooking demos and stuff around town.
I think chefs are some of the most fascinating people.
We're an interesting breed.
You're an interesting breed. I am one career away from being a chef. Like, I could have easily slid right into that, being a chef. I could have fit right into the kitchen, you know the whole thing. I never made it there. But I love, you know, one of the things I used to love about Matt, and he was an artist, you know, and I'm not sure if he would have considered himself an amazing chef, but he was great. He understood, you know, flavors, and I used to go over to his house. He'd go, sit down. I go, all right. I'd sit down. He'd be working something over behind me, and then the plate would land, and I'm like, "That is that an egg? Is that an egg in that spaghetti? Just eat it." And I'd eat it. I'd be, oh, my God, it's amazing. So I'm always fascinated with chefs. I love the art of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like you said, it's an art. And now, you know, focusing my art into, for years, it's always been that, add an extra scoop of butter or add an extra half a cup of heavy cream or some chopped bacon. It always tastes better, you know. Mm. How do I make it taste better without putting that in there?
Yeah. How?
Lots of herbs.
Herbs.
Lots of herbs.
So what's like some of your favorite things? Do you love making dinners? I mean, lunches, breakfast. Some people like, you know, do you have something that you prefer to do over others or?
I mean, not really. It all just kind of, I would say, comes a little natural. You know, I'll take a risk on some stuff, but I always have that, you know, Rolodex of go to, like, okay, I'm really in the mood for this, so I'm just going to go to Omega.
You know what my favorite steak is right now? Is hanger steak. Or no, Flatiron.
Love those too.
Oh, my God. Dude, Flatiron steak is the shit. I mean, I can take that thing and put it in the, I'll sear it. And then put it in the oven for like 8 minutes. Take it out, slice it. You can't find a better piece of meat. It's that good. And they're hard to find, but Giant does sell Flatiron steak. Every once in a while you can find them.
Every once in a while you can catch those.
If they're there, I'll buy three. Because they're just, and I'll give one as a gift. I just am so impressed with this piece of meat. But I think it's been a big secret. You know, you've had like a flank steak. I'm not a big flank steak guy.
Well, a little
tough.
Flank steaks, I feel like they're one of those cuts that they're easy to do well. They're just as easy to do wrong.
Yeah, I've always done it wrong. So flank steak, and then I loved skirt steak. I love making carne asada. You know, it's a good marinating meat. You know, it soaks for like 3 days in some lime or something. But in sliced right, it's manageable. But flat iron steak, it is like cut it any way, cook it any way. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Do you do any meals with Flatiron steak? Can we make a meal?
I'm making notes right now.
Can I invent a meal?
Sure.
All right. So I'm thinking Flatiron steak, broccoli, and cauliflower mashed potatoes.
I like it.
Okay. It's official.
It'll be up on the website next week.
I wonder if it'll be any good. Well, it sounds delicious. Yeah, I'll buy one.
I always tell people I'm always open to suggestions. So let me know, like, and then You know, what, like, what were some of the your favorite things, or what are you currently eating now that you want to have for lunch? You know, like, tell me. I'm like, open book. You know, I'm.
It's funny, as a father and as a parent raising children. I shouldn't say a father, mother or father, right? I remember as a kid what my mom used to cook, and I feel like I've kind of slid into that. That I don't want to say a grind, but you know, it's a spaghetti, baked chicken, steak, tacos, fajitas. You know, these simple things, pork chops.
Yeah.
I don't get too far off of that, just because out of time, and honestly, I'm not very educated at being a chef. I'm a great cook for one setting, which is my family, and that's about it. And but don't make it too creative, because I'll blow it. But you know, so it's hard to kind of well, and you also get into this groove of what your kids will eat, right? Like my kids wouldn't eat any of those. My kids wouldn't, because they're little. My son, my 15-year-old, would eat all of those. But the 8 and 9-year-olds, they'd be like, I don't know, maybe Sam. Teresa would be like, no. So you get
not
this,
even the meatballs.
She might maybe. Eat the meatballs. She might. I don't, listen, she might eat the chicken. And actually, she might eat the burger. I'm maybe speaking out of turn for her. But I know that, what I guess my point was, is that I've fallen into this thing that I know that they'll eat it.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. We can manage the provisions. So, but I think that, you know, something like this is nice, because it also be a nice way to introduce my kids to new things.
Yeah. I mean,
squash spaghetti. They'd be like, what?
And the great thing about that, I think what could trigger for kids, I personally don't have children. So it's all a guessing game for me, but I could
get some,
I could see, I have a lot of nieces and nephews. They keep me busy. But, you know, because that spaghetti squash has such a natural sweetness when you roast it, that it might, I could see them, it triggering that sweet tooth, and like, okay, this isn't that bad.
No, I bet they would. I bet they would think it was delicious. So do you bake the squash or microwave it?
I bake it.
Okay, do you lose nutritional value out of stuff that you microwave? I've heard people say that. I don't know if that's true. Does it matter?
I couldn't give you an answer.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to cooking, if that's what you're comfortable, who am I to say or judge, you know, how you do it?
That,
you know, as far as techniques.
That was one of the cooler things, is when I microwave that squash, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to put it in the microwave and microwave it. And then I started scraping it, and it just started like spaghetti. Yeah. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I'm doing something chefy right here.
Yeah. I mean, I watched David Chang microwave a birthday cake the other day on Instagram, and it was like, wow. He just did a whole confetti cake in the microwave.
Okay.
And
it
like,
cooked
okay.
And it cooked.
I mean, I don't know how it turned out. I mean, I was not there, but it was like, okay.
It looked good.
I see it. you know, I think chefs have been exploring more and more the convenience of the microwave over the years.
Yeah.
And
well, and I think microwaves have gotten better.
Yes, they've definitely advanced very, very far from.
I had
back when they said, don't look into it, it's going to burn your eyes out or give you cancer. Or
I had I had one of those microwave over stove kind of setups at my house, and the microwave was such a piece of crap, and I kept finally the handle ripped off, and I was like, forget it. So we took it out and basically put in a nice hood over the stove, and I just bought this little countertop microwave, but it's so good. I mean, you know, everything, a plate fits in it, but it's, you know, it spins, it stops, it turns, it does all these great little things for the, I think it was like a $99 microwave.
Yeah.
So compared to the microwave that my mom brought home back in 1979 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that probably weighed 200 pounds.
Yeah,
and
it was, you know, a beast. You know, they're doing a better job. So that's cool. That's interesting that, you know, that people can do that. Do you, so where do you see this going? I mean, have you had any interest? Have people been excited? Have people been trying it out?
Yeah, yeah, it's growing each week. I think people are really getting behind the ease, the convenience, the flavors, and, you know, are they losing weight? I don't know. They're not, if they're not telling me. I just think so a lot of it's...
Is this for losing weight? Is this
no,
a diet?
Not no. Okay. No. I think this is to help if I was to put a term to it, it's like to help maintain like a balance in life. It's an option of... It's a better option than the...
Junk that might be laying around.
Yeah, like the, or, you know, just grabbing whatever from wherever.
Well, you know what's also nice about this is that you have decided the portion, and it looks like let me see. This turkey one has, I don't know, it looks like it's four meatballs, turkey meatballs, right, on a bed of spaghetti squash. That looks like a perfectly normal portion. If I was going to eat this, I would only probably eat two meatballs and part of this and then eat the rest later. But at least it gives me an idea on a portion, because spaghetti alone can really, you can fall into the spaghetti hole, right? You can fill this giant bowl and really overeat, especially on spaghetti and then the bread. So this is nice because it's got a nice size. The portion, it gives me an idea what a portion looks like. Sometimes people that are, you know, like if you're not, you say it's not a diet, and I think that's probably smart, but there are people that are trying to learn how to eat.
Yeah.
You know, we get into these bizarre habits of how we eat certain things or how we... You know, if it's a new person in your life and how they eat, and you just be part. So whatever it is that it takes you to that spot, but it's nice to get a nice reference on what, you know, a portion looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, that bean, the is it brown bean or black the bean black burger? Bean. I was confusing my bears. The brown black bean burger, that looks like a nice portion too. So, you know, you're teaching people besides the food, maybe portion control. And honestly, maybe somebody would say, listen, I could probably make this into two, my lunch and maybe late lunch or something too. So learning new habits.
Yeah. And and a lot of that, I have had a couple people say, oh, you know, I wish that was a little bit bigger. But then again, I think, you know, if it's...
Were they fat?
No. But I think, you know, a lot of it can be telling your brain and your stomach, That was my meal, you know, that was what I should be eating. And now I'm going to wait, you know, I'm going to get to my next meal. Like, I think a lot of that is, again, like I said, training yourself to say, no, that was good. Stop. You know, like with so much in life, like, okay, just stop, you know,
do you
we're good.
Do you focus on, or maybe not focus, but do you consider the person? Like, you know, if I was going to have this would probably be, I would, you know, I like to run. I try to run a few days a week. I'm the guy that will skip eating a long part of the day, maybe just have a dinner. Like yesterday, I didn't eat anything until dinner. And I brought food to eat, and I just didn't eat it. So, you know, maybe like, I don't know, the long breakfast or something that kind of tells somebody. So if I don't feel like I'm have a lot of opportunity to have lunch or something, maybe I'm going to eat something a little more with a little more protein, a little bit more carbs to get the day started, but some bigger proteins to extend it out through lunch in case I'm not going to be able to eat lunch. So, you know, maybe design, I guess you could go crazy doing this, but maybe you could pick and choose different ways, you know, the athlete lunch or the, I'm not doing a lot today lunch. You know, maybe it's a little lighter.
Yeah, and I think as we develop the program a lot more, we can get into some more personalized stuff. But I think just, you know, generally trying to hit cover all bases, you know, with keeping the menu rotating. And, you know, maybe that is something that we look into when we add a breakfast program. You know, something that's sustainable through the day, because you know you're going to be busy and you're not going to have that opportunity to really
if you do
eat
this
lunch.
If you do this, do you have to be able to provide calories? A calorie number? Is there like, there's like, I'm not trying to make more work for you, but
yeah.
I guess what I was going to say is it would almost be cool to be like, don't worry about the calories. They're fine.
In the perfect world, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
I think in the perfect world, everybody would love to be able to say, yeah, forget about the calories, just eat.
Well, I mean, why don't we do that now?
Why not?
You know, I remember there was a person that I knew, and she used to say, these things only have 100 calories. And I'd be like, yeah, but they're zero calories. They're just nothing. It's
why is it zero calories?
No, it was 100 calories, well, but it's 100 calories of nothing. You know, it should be. I've always thought, like, if you're going to eat a handful of almonds, let's say that's 60 calories. It should be 60 green calories. Like, these calories are fuel. These calories will contribute something to your vehicle doing better. And then let's say, you know, a handful of chocolate-covered raw almonds. So you still have your 60 great calories, but you also got 30 red calories. You know, they're not. These are more just for enjoyment, but they're not going to make your car or vehicle be any stronger. You know, so it's just trying to figure out what calories are, because people are like, well, these are a 100-calorie snack bag that I can have because I'm hungry. I'm like, well, instead of eating nothing, sugar, simple carbs that quick burn that end up turning into fat anyway, you know, maybe almonds might be a better choice in the green, you know, different ways to show, because 100 calories just isn't 100 calories, right? It can be 100 wasted calories, 100 calories of protein, important. So I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to go down there, right?
It's definitely a wormhole to go down. You know, I look at those 100 calorie packs of, you know, brownies.
Keebler,
or,
yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you look, I think one of the biggest things with those is looking at the ingredients in it. You
well,
know,
don't
it could be
look at the ingredients.
It could be 100 calories, but, you know, if you can't pronounce the word that they're of the ingredient they're using, do you think you want to put that in your system?
That's,
you
know, my point. That's my point. That's what I'm saying. You could be like, don't worry about the calories. They're good. Just eat it.
I've always
get consumed by the freaking. It's like, look at my car, but it has no engine.
Yeah.
But it's awesome, but it doesn't have an engine. You know, we have to look at it in a different way. Forget the numbers and say, these, don't worry about my calories. They're it's all healthy, clean protein,
yeah,
good food.
If you can't pronounce a word on the ingredient list, you probably shouldn't be eating it.
Right. These, you probably
or also, if you have to Google it.
Or if you have to throw it away after a week, you probably,
yeah,
you know, that's called real food.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that it's dumb. I can't stand calories. I think they're silly. And I wish we could figure out a way to, you know, really show what kind of calories. You know, there's a game, Minecraft. You ever seen Minecraft, the game?
Yeah, I've seen that.
And it's silly, right? It's a sandbox game. What the fuck? It's just blocks. But they do a great job in that game with teaching you about food and sustenance. And, you know, like, you get steak, chicken, pork chops, apples, fruit. But, you know, each thing has like a haunch that shows you what you get, but it also shows you what it's going to do for you. And it's silly, but, you know, you ask kids about it, and they're like, yeah, that's good food, but it's not going to give you a lot of sustenance throughout the day. You're going to have to eat a lot of that throughout the day, whereas like a steak, which is the ultimate piece of food you would find, has a lot of sustenance, gets you through the day, and feeds you. So it's a silly game, but it does talk about, and I don't think we think about, there's no sustenance in a 100-calorie Keebler pack of mini cookies. It's no. Just habit.
Yeah.
So
I feel like a lot of times that I, you know, fall victim to the sweet tooth. You
oh,
know?
Dude. I'm
a sugar junkie.
Me
I
too,
I
man.
Can't personally help it.
And unfortunately, I think Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are vegan.
I don't know. I don't even look
chocolate,
at them.
Chocolate, peanut to, butter, what?
Well, no, because usually in America, a lot of our quick-serve chocolates are milk chocolate, so.
Oh.
A lot of the big brands
that
use
be
milk
vegan,
chocolate, so, you know.
Oh, boy. I'm going to be a vegan. Maybe I can get off.
Yeah, but.
I don't know why, but this year somehow has been the year of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, and it's got me hooked.
See, I found the peanut butter Oreo.
Oh my god! Stop talking.
Because though they are not certified vegan, you know, as we're promoting good food here, and,
you pull
you
the
know,
curtains closed, yeah. Have a moment. Well, and I think you mentioned it earlier. It's everything in proportion or moderation.
Yeah.
And you know, it's all. I get frustrated. This whole COVID thing, and I feel like whatever's been going on, there's a lot of hypocrisy and a lot of stuff. A lot of people have an opinion about a lot of stuff. But at the same time, you know, patriotism, but they couldn't run across a field and put a musket on a fence post. You know, there's what part at some point are we responsible for ourselves? And it's exposed a lot of it. I think, you know, my mom had COVID. We've been affected by COVID. So it's not that I'm not have a heartless opinion about COVID, but it's exposed that a lot of people don't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's like, oh, you need to take vitamins. Oh, now we're going to take vitamins. You know, this is, there's a lost cause out there, you know, but with our kids and starting to re-educate and trying to understand how food is fuel. It's not just this, it is, but, you know, in the end, it's fuel. And I think we need to understand that and start learning about how it plays a role in our life. And because we haven't been doing a very good job of that. Somehow I decided to try to be healthy, but I could just as easily not. Right.
I think it's easier not to be.
It's a lot easier.
And, you know, because
it's easier physically, but it's not easier on me mentally.
Yeah.
Mentally, I would rather go out and run like I ran this morning. I ran with my buddy Brian Kelman. Lewis Cycle Sport, go check him out. He's got great bikes. But we ran this morning. It sucked, but I tell you what, at least I'm not going to be stressing about not exercising.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't exercise all day, I'd be like, oh, I should do something. So
I got to go move a refrigerator later, so I'll take care of that.
You're covered?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so we go to your website. So what? How broad are your choices? Because you brought three. And thank you, by the way. I appreciate that. And we're going to post a lot of pictures of them. But so you got the meatballs, you got the black bean burger, and you've got the chicken and quinoa. What else kind of options do you got?
So keeping the menu fresh, every week it changes. Mondays I put out a new menu for the week. I limit it to 3 to 4 options.
Okay.
Because, again, not to get stale, but then not to give you too many options where you're like, oh, my God, like, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want. So,
well, you're a new business, too. Yeah. You don't need to, like, be carrying a lot of products. I mean, give him a break a bit. I mean, but so 3 or 4 a week.
Yeah.
And you just keep rotating it.
Every week. And then, you know, some old oldies and goodies come, they'll pop back on there.
What's
and
some of the favorites that people have really enjoyed?
So I did a beef stew.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago. And
can I give you a suggestion?
And it's all coming back right now. Like, it's on the menu for delivery on Sunday. And everybody's like, yeah, I want like 5 of those. And
I won't name the name. We'll keep him anonymous. But this guy does this stuff. It's called Grandma's Soup, and it's beef stew, beef and potato stew. But he puts plantains in it.
Interesting.
Good. Just a little secret.
Well, I could.
If plantains end up in your beef stew, I'm just saying. But it's nice because...
Well, now you're going to have to tell me who to give a shout-out to if that...
Well, it's my buddy next door here at the Nook. Ooh. He just makes this great... I don't even know. I think he does sell it, but it's this soup that he makes with just everything that's kind of left over from the week. The meat, you know, meat and potatoes and vegetables. And he just makes this big soup, and he calls it Grandma's Soup. It's so freaking good. But he's got plantains in it. And I guess, you know, we know plantains are bananas. I don't even know if they're the same. They look the same, but plantains are a little more starchy, right? Plantains are more potato-y.
More potato-y.
Are they the same? It's not two things that just look alike, are they?
No, now you're going to make me dig down. I might need another cup of coffee to draw that one up.
But the point was, he puts that plantain in. I automatically think banana. The reality is, it's another form of potato. It's another starch.
I think I made that mistake as a child, grabbed the plantain at the grocery store, brought it home, and okay, this isn't very good.
No. But what I thought was cool is that he, first of all, he's introducing, I saw it. I'm like, dude, is that plantain? He's like, it is. He's introducing me to something new that I had to keep my distance from because it isn't sweet, so I don't know what to do with it. It's like the yucca cactus branches that are over at Giant, too. I'm like, I don't know what I would do with that, so I'm just going to stay away. They'll probably show up in something I eat in the future, but I'll be like, oh, that's what you do with those. But so he's introduced me to plantains. He's introducing me to new things. I thought it was very cool. Maybe that's another option, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I personally love plantains. They can hold a lot of sweetness. You know, the more ripe they get, they develop those sugars. So like when you see the green ones at the store versus the browner ones at the store, then you're like, why haven't they thrown those away yet? Right. But each one serves a purpose in different recipes and, you know.
Well, and grocery stores are doing a lot better job these days. And they've been doing it for a while, but they got a lot of stuff now. Yeah. I see. I go to Giant. I'm like, what would you cook at that? You know, those little pink cactus tops. And I think it's probably maybe just a lot more varieties of people cooking food, I guess. I don't know how to say that. But
yeah, you know, yeah.
For some reason, there's a taste for yucca tops.
Yeah, I mean, people are getting adventurous, and, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, there used to be a time if you want to go out and cook, you know, there'd be a good chance you might not find some of the things on the recipe, but I think it's getting better. If that's a good thing, I don't know. But so this week, so you try to keep three or four things kind of circulating through every week.
And then as we, you know, we start to get cold now, I'm going to be introducing some soups that can be purchased that, you know, ready for you to just heat up, and a couple of different items, like some smaller breakfast items. And we're all developing here. You know, I don't think nothing on here will ever really stay stagnant. It's just kind of introducing new things that maybe you wouldn't think that could be healthy, but
well, like
making
some
great tomato bisques that are 100% vegan and tasty. And
one of the cool things I love about chefs and when I go to a restaurant is, depending on the size of the restaurant, one of the things I like to do is I like to just eat the special. You know, whatever the chef special for the night is, I'm like, that's what I want, because this is something this guy's focusing on. So what I'm thinking for me is I would just say, listen, bring me a few for the week. You pick. I'm sure they're all delicious. And, you know, because I probably wouldn't pick a black bean burger because I'm not a vegan or I'm not a vegetarian. But if it showed up, I would eat it. So I think that maybe some people or people should maybe just let you be the choice. And then, you know, if you find something you like, you say, I really enjoyed that, or one way or the other. I know that's what I would like to do. And you say you will deliver.
I do deliver, yes.
So if I said, hey, man, can you bring me, because I work, you know, I'm here 3 days a week. Can you bring me three on Monday? You would stop by on Monday and bring them.
So, yeah, I limit my delivery days. It's Sunday, and I can do Monday. Like, you know, Sunday's a family day. You know, I understand that. So it's, you know, if, hey, don't stop by on Sunday. Can you bring them on Monday? Sure, no problem.
Well, I'm not here on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to make you change your whole schedule for me. I'm just saying, if so you only deliver on Sundays?
Yes, for now. As we grow, another delivery day might pop up, you know, as a midweek kind of option. But as we're growing and developing Sundays, that way you can hit the ground running on Monday with going to work and having your meals.
Can I give you my containers back?
Those are yours.
You're not going to wash them? You're not going to reuse them?
They're just never the same.
Okay.
You can reuse them.
Well, I'm just wondering. Cause
you know, those containers have a lot of great purposes. You know, you can put nuts and bolts in there and crayons. And
well, but if I'm getting four of these a week, I'm in up with a lot of containers. Yeah. So, you know, maybe a recycling program or something. Yeah. But listen, I'm not making work.
Hey, if we recycle at our kitchen, so if you would like me to pick them up and put them in our recycling bin, I'll do that.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to make more work for you. I was just asking because I'm kind of going through this plastic container thing right now where I bought this whole thing of like those, and there must be 20 of them and the lids and everything. And then I'll put stuff in it and I'll bring it to work and then I forget about it. And then I just throw the whole thing away instead of, you know, where maybe a year ago or 5 years ago, I'd have maybe cleaned the container. Like, oh, this is precious container. I have so many now. They're everywhere. I'm just throwing them away now. Now I just don't. I've lost my ability to care about the plastic container. So I need to get back into kind of, washing them and storing them. But whatever.
Well, the biggest problem is the lids never match.
No, that's a problem.
That's a whole podcast on its own.
The Lid Don't Match podcast. Come and check it out. Well, listen, buddy, I appreciate it, Dominic. I love, you know, it's always, this podcast, the RoboSocial, is always one small business helping another. whatever it is you're doing, it's always it's about the leap of faith, the try, the attempt. I always say it's not who you're praying to, it's the attempt. It's at least you're trying. And I just love it when people are doing stuff. And anything I can do to help you, anything we can do to shout out, if you got something you want to promote, send it to me. I'll post it on our social sites, and we'll have you back. But my hat's off to you. You're doing some great stuff. And
thank you.
It's got to be fun. You got to be enjoying it. I'm sure there's some fear and all that other shit that's in there, but there's nothing like laying your head down at the end of the day, knowing you've put your best foot forward and you're really doing something that you're passionate about. I think a lot of people are finding out right now that they're doing stuff they're not that passionate about.
Yeah, I think that, and I think in this COVID age, I think there's a lot of us restaurant industry people who are getting out there and experiencing something else because our industry is suffering. So we're trying new things.
Well, one of the great cool things, and I'm going to give Sodell a shout out because they've sponsored this podcast in the past and they're all good friends of mine. But what I used to love about Scott and Matt is that, even like when you would take out something from their takeout, you could go onto their website and you could get like this whole discussion with the chef on the way he made the food and the prep. And, I feel like that's the direction we're headed.
Yeah.
The more and more we're doing pickup and curbside delivery and these, that may be something you end up having to do is at the end of the week, sit down in front of a camera and just kind of talk about the food you're making and let people, it seems to be where we're headed.
And it's very interesting that you say that. I'm working with right now the Make a Difference Coalition and Lyft, and we're developing a program, a couple different programs of like cooking classes and, healthy eating, working with Outtrain in Harbison about, coming up and, doing some education on, just good eating, how to cook for yourself. And working with those guys are really great because they have such a community outreach that, it's, how do we, A, teach people how to cook right and eat right? And B, like, with the community, getting away from the quick options of the world, like, how do we teach a family of four to, go to the grocery store, spend $20, and eat three meals out of that $20, A lot of it's the
Fresh
education.
Fresh Market started doing that. I feel like they were one of the first people that were doing, and if you, I know Giant followed, but you can go over and basically buy a meal, all the makings of a meal for the night for, I think, 20 or 25 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cook it, but, I know as a guy raising three kids, my wife and I raising three kids, cooking is a challenge, And you can put a lot of work into it. Nobody likes it. And that's annoying.
Yeah, that's the tough part. But I think, a lot of the, a lot of it's the education of, if I'm going to buy that $20 thing from Giant or Fresh Market or, how can I make that another meal?
Right.
Just kind of giving people those ideas and that literature and those and having knowledge to pass on. Like, okay, you got that chicken, tonight's roasted chicken, tomorrow's chicken noodle. And, guess what, kids? The next night's going to be chicken and dumplings. Sorry. But it's a lot within the community of, people who don't have that expendable income who they can feed their family of four for X amount of dollars. And it's easy at McDonald's. Like, how can we break this cycle of providing a nutritious meal that's affordable and, spreading it out through the week,
Well, and I also think we need to put value on what we're eating. I don't think we think 2 seconds about the shit we put into our mouth. And we've, it's this body, this vehicle that we've been issued, that we've been so kindly given, is probably the worst treated thing that we own.
Yeah.
And it's, I always say, if you could go buy a new one up in Dover, up to, Hertrick's body sales, I wonder what a new body would cost. And would you treat it better?
Yeah.
It's like such a gift. And we put the worst crap into it. So But listen, man, that I appreciate you coming on. We'll keep following you. I love what you're doing. And give me the website one more time.
It's mealpreprehoboth.com.
Mealprepperhoboth.com. And we'll post that as a link in the podcast. And I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. And we'll have you back. Yeah. We'll keep following you. We'll see you. We'll follow your progress. You're going to get this.
Meal prep. Sounds great.
I'm going to sign up. All right, brother.
All right.
Peace.